I want to thank you all for coming out. This is, I think, our fourth Tanakh series this year, Baruch Hashem. Beginning of the year, we had a chance to have several shiurim on Yonah. Then we had a chance to learn Daniel for some time before Purim. Adi Rishon, Adi Sheni, we had a chance to learn Megillas Esther. And now, between Pesach and Shavuos, we'll have hopefully several opportunities, two or three opportunities, to explore Tehillim on Torah, to explore some of the Pirkei Tehillim that tell us about learning. I thought it may be a unique way to prepare ourselves for Kabbalah HaTorah. Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of events and simchas and so on and so forth, certainly towards the latter part of Sfira, so I don't think it's going to be a series of five shiurim, but I hope we will have several shiurim. But first, just by way of introduction to the Sefer as a whole, Sefer Tehillim, we're gonna focus on a handful of prakim. But it's worth appreciating, Sefer Tehillim is such a incredibly varied Sefer. And if you say Tehillim, or if you learn Tehillim, either one, so if you say Tehillim, so you get to see sort of the view from 30,000 feet, and you get to see sort of a broad scope, and there's such variety, such incredible variety, such an incredible variety of historical events that are described, such an incredible variety of moods. There are Pirkei Tehillim that are grateful, there are Pirkei Tehillim that are pensive, sometimes it's a sense of fright, sometimes it's a sense of excitement, sometimes a sense of gratitude, sometimes it's a bakasha for the future. And it's such a wide variety. And, as the Gemara points out, when you read, the Gemara in Bava Basra points out, when you work your way through Tehillim, so the beginning of the Sefer is all attributed to David HaMelech. But then you get deeper into the Sefer, and there are zones within Tehillim where the Mizmorim are attributed to various other authors, Eson HaEzrachi, to Yedusun. Many of them are attributed to Asaf and other B'nai Korach. There's such a wide variety in Tehillim. The question is, what is Tehillim? So many different things. So I think one way to think about it is that the Tzad HaShava, the common denominator, typically is in pain and joy, looking forward, looking backwards, but talking to Hashem. That's the most common posture in Tehillim, is speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes instead it's speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what binds Tehillim together is the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And whatever it is that's going on in one's life, whether it's looking forward, it's looking back, it's a thank you, it's a please, it's a frightened, it's an excited, but I'm bringing that into the, I'm bringing all, whatever aspect of my life it is, you know, putting it on the table between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. Often, as I said, speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in praise and thanks, in fright, in anger, in confusion, or else I'm speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very emotive, a very real, visceral way. So we're going to be focusing in particular on the prakim that speak to Torah. But thinking about Tehillim this way, begin to appreciate why Tehillim speaks to us, why Tehillim has such a special place in the Jewish heart, because it gives us the words to speak to and about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to look particularly at those prakim that speak about Torah, and not surprisingly, they're often will be highlighting Torah as a part of our relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or Torah as a vehicle to our relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hopefully this will give us insight, cognitive insight and emotional insight that will help us on the journey towards refreshing, renewing our Kabbalah HaTorah come the Yom Tov of Shavuos. And we think about Prakim in Tehillim about Torah, so certainly the greatest of all Prakim about Torah is the greatest of all Prakim, period, and that is Tehillim Kuf Yutes. That's for those who participate in saying Tehillim, that one is often a cause of great apprehension. Tehillim Kuf Yutes is 176 psukim. 8 psukim per letter of the alphabet, 8 times 22 is 176. It's daunting. If you ever wonder what it's about, it's actually predominantly throughout the Mizmar about Torah. And there are, I think, that's perhaps the third of three Mizmorim that stand out. I don't know that they're the only ones about Torah, but I think among the Mizmorim that speak about Torah, I think three that particularly stand out are Aleph, Yutes, and Kuf Yutes. So hopefully going forward we'll have the opportunity to spend a shiur or two on Tehillim Kuf Yutes. We could probably spend many, many shiurim on Tehillim Kuf Yutes, and maybe in future years we will. We'll see when we come back. But I want to begin with the opening lines. The opening lines of Tehillim. Ashrei Ha'ish. This opening perek, one of the primary focuses is Torah. That's the six psukim in the first perek of Tehillim. The first three psukim are about the tzaddik, and then the focus turns to the rasha. I want to take a look, and it's the middle of those three psukim, Pasuk Beis, which talks about Torah. And this is obviously the first time and one of the most notable times that Tehillim speaks about Torah. Kim b'saras Hashem chefzo, uv'saroso yege yomon v'layla. Describes a Jew who cares about Torah, who wants Torah, and who not only in theory would love to have Torah, has chefetz with Torah, but also has higayon. He is this is a Jew who's learning Torah, and a Jew who's learning Torah yomam v'layla. And that's the sort of, if we're looking for Tehillim on Torah, our attention is certainly drawn to that pasuk. But you might wonder how he got there. And the intro. The intro is the opening pasuk of Tehillim. Ashrei ha'ish asher lo halach batzatz rishayim, v'derech ha'atim lo amad, v'moshav lo etzim lo yashav. Fortunate, stable, Rav Avinair translates, stable is the person who, you expect to hear something that's going to lead us up to Torah. But this pasuk of Torah is something very different. He didn't walk in the eitz of rishayim, he did not stand on the way, on the path of those who are involved in chet, and did not sit among the leitzim, among people who are mockers, who are sarcastic, who are cynical. Gemara, some of the Gemaras that talk about Moshe of leitzim and Avodah Zarah indicate it means perhaps not just cynical, but even just people who sit around doing nothing of nothing productive. So Ashrei is the person who didn't walk with the Rishayim, who didn't stand with the Chatam, who didn't sit with the leitzim. Rather, ki im b'saras Hashem chavtzo. So how does one lead to the other? So let's explore the Pasuk Aleph first on its own, and then we'll see where it takes us. The one structure that just strikes you right away about the very first Pasuk in Tehillim is obviously that there's a triple, there's a trio. There are the Rishayim, the Chataim, and the Leitzim. Not to be Holech in the Eitz of Rishayim, not to be Omed in the Derech of Chataim, not to sit, not to be Yoshev in the Moshav of Leitzim. So in Mesil Susharim, in the fifth chapter, Ramchal, the fifth chapter of Mesil Susharim, he's wrapping up his discussion of the first step in an organized, methodical approach to growth of Avodas Hashem, an organized, methodical approach to growth really in any, probably in any human endeavor, and that is to have clarity about goals and to take stock on a regular basis and to think things through. To make decisions based, rational decision making based on my goals, and to not only to make decisions thoughtfully, but also to periodically think retrospectively, where have I been and what have I done? Am I happy with how with my results? Cheshbon ha'nefesh. So that's how the Mesilas Yesharim understands the concept of zehiros that the Gemara of Avodah Zarah speaks about in describing the stages, the trajectory of growth of a Jew. And the last chapter of his treatment of Zahiris, of this first step of living life thoughtfully and contemplatively, so the last chapter of his treatment of that parakeh, he turns his attention after describing what it is and talking about how you can pick it up and sort of unpacking it. The last step is, what are the pitfalls and how can we avoid them? And he highlights three major pitfalls to absorbing, to cultivating Zahiris, which are really three major pitfalls to getting onto a program, a path of ambitious growth. And he identifies this pasuk as expressing the third one. The first one, just being too busy to think. That's the most basic that everyone grapples with, just about everyone grapples with being too busy, not having enough time, being distracted. The second one is more specific. Not everyone grapples with this, but if you do, it's really tough, and that's being sarcastic and cynical, and you know, sort of losing the ability to take things seriously, losing the ability, leitzanus, getting in the way of, sort of doesn't allow me to be open to inspiration, because I just, if I get into this reflexive, everything gets devalued, and I just mevatel everything, I deflate everything, and I assume that nothing really matters, but it's gonna be hard for any inspiration to take hold if I knock everything away, sort of like this defensive mechanism. And then he says, in addition to number one, being too busy, a major pitfall to living contemplatively, and number two, being sarcastic, being cynical, he says number three is negative peer pressure. And he points to these psukim. And it's interesting that he explains that the reason why this is the third in his list is because oftentimes a person will recognize that, you know, I'm basically in place to grow. I am thinking. I have carved out the time. I have been kovei itim. I have a blocked out time in my schedule to think, to learn, to grow. And Baruch Hashem, I've pushed back against cynicism and sarcasm, and you know, I'm open to inspiration. I'm open to substantive, authentic, genuine messages. And still, it's just not, you know, inside, it's all systems go, but I'm not implementing. What's getting in the way? So he says, what's getting in the way is item number three. Maybe inside I'm ready to roll, but there's headspace and there's openness, but there's something external. And that external factor is peer pressure. Within, I want to do the right thing. Within, I want to grow. But negative peer pressure can get in the way of my implementing, my acting, my executing on those good intentions, of bringing the good premius to action, to chitzonius. So often negative peer pressure is going to get in the way. And he points to this pasuk. And he says that's exactly the opening topic in Tehillim, is beware of negative peer pressure. Ashrei is the person who's not getting enmeshed. And he talks about, well, how do you grapple with, how do you combat it? So he has a couple of solutions. The first of which is seek to avoid it. It won't always work, but as much as possible, seek to set yourself up for success. Choose your chevra. Choose where you position yourself. Choose to position yourself in situations where you're gonna leverage positive peer pressure, and where you're gonna minimize negative peer pressure. That's exactly the opening message. Ashrei is the one who chose to not be with the Rishayim, who's not on that road, who's not in that place, who's not sitting there. Ashrei is the one who chose to sit somewhere else, who chose to be somewhere else. So that's sort of the basic meaning of this pasuk. But and how about the trio? Seems repetitive, poetic, but there's meaning presumably to each poetic line. So there are two madrigas to that trio. So the Ramchal quotes the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Here at the end of Perakei Masilas Yesharim, Ramchal points to Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. Of course, if Yud Ches Amud Beis, Yud Ches Amud Aleph, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah has a lot of discussions about this opening parak of Tehillim, interwoven with other threads as well. So Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Ches, says that there's a progression. There's halicha, and then there's amida, and then there's yeshiva. Because the Gemara says, I don't understand. Think about this. Sort of like mixed metaphors. Ashrei is the one who wasn't holich in the Eitz of Rishayim and wasn't omed in the Derech of Chatam. So the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. If he didn't walk there, so of course he's not standing there. If he was never standing there, of course he didn't sit down. Now, how does this work? And the Gemara says, no, there's a progression, a negative progression. Understand, the Gemara reads in this pasuk, that this is step one, and then step two, and then step three. Good for you that you didn't walk with them. Because if you would have walked with them, im halach, sof olamod. If you would walk with them, you would end up standing with them. And if you would stand with them, you would end up sitting with them. In other words, peer pressure doesn't come all at once, but it's a gradual slippery slope. There's a little bit of interaction, And then if I give in to a little bit of interaction, then it sort of it gets sucked into a little more. And so the Gemara is understanding that halicha is the most ephemeral. It's the most temporary. I walked by. You think like you're having a conversation with someone in a positive sense. Sometimes you're walking and talking with someone, and you know that moment where you're walking together, and all of a sudden the person stops and keeps talking. So then you might be thinking, I need to get to wherever we're going. And also that means this is going to be a longer, more intensive conversation when you stop. So that's what the Gemara seems to say. The first stage would be halach, walking together. And then there is amad, you stand. Now it's getting a little more focused. And then you sit down. That's a really intensive conversation. And that the Gemara understands that David HaMelech is accessing those metaphors. It's a good thing that you didn't even spend a little bit of casual halicha with them. Because if you would have, you might end up Amida. And with Amida, you may end up with Yeshiva. So the Ramchal points out that's a very practical insight for our Avos Hashem in grappling with and trying to wrap our heads around the power of peer pressure, the positive power of peer pressure and the negative power of negative peer pressure, is to recognize that it starts small and then it grows. It's interesting. Now, this doesn't necessarily set us up, however, for the transition to the next pasuk. The Malbim understands al derech pshuto. I would suggest that he would say that the Gemara Avodah Zarah, Holach, Amad, Yashav, that interpretation al derech drash, and therefore it's just independent for that one pasuk. The Malbim suggests al derech pshat, a sort of a different angle on the Amad, the Holach, the Amad, and the Yashav. He looks also at the Rasha and the Chote, or the Chata, and the Lates. And in a way, that sets us up for the next pasuk. That's interesting, another important insight. Because he points out, if you think about these people, there are different ways of, how would you sort of, what's a hierarchy of a Rasha versus a Chote versus a Lates? How are you from a scale of 1 to 10?
It's like the Rasha is worse.
Right. So that's what Malbim says. Malbim says, now, I would have thought, because of comments of the Mesila Sharma earlier in that paragraph, that Leitz is a really bad place to be. And there are Gemaras that he points to about the danger of a Leitz. But the Ramchal, the Malbim, on this pasuk, he sees the Leitz, at least in this context, as being the least severe. The Rasha is a person who's doing Averas, Bemered, Bemazed. He wants to do the wrong thing. He's invested in being evil. The Chote is someone who does Averis out of Taiva. It's out of convenience, out of desire. He's not wedded to it. It's not a Shita. He gave in to temptation. He gave in to laziness. And he was a Chote. And then the Letz, the Malbim, presents as someone just empty. The Moshe Avleitzim, the truth is, this aspect of the Malbim is rooted in some of the Gemaras on this pasuk. The Pesukim, when the Gemaras talk about Moshe Avleitzim, it's not clear that there are necessarily people who are like deeply cynical and sarcastic and scornful, as much as just, often we use the word Moshe Leitzim, this means something that's just empty. The Yoshve Kronos. Malbim points to the Yoshve Kronos. People are leading empty lives. Not evil, not bad, but just there's nothing there. So the Malbim says, and perhaps in tune with the opening question of the Gemara, right? If you weren't holy, how'd you get to be Omer? So it says, yeah, exactly. Number one, you're not involved in the worst. To be holy, batzas rishayim, he thinks al pipshuto halicha is the most intensive. To actually be on the path, we often talk about that many, many times a path is used as a metaphor in Tanakh and in Chazal, for, you know, you have a certain trajectory in life. That's the path that I'm on. That's very significant. What path are you on? What track am I on? So number one, Ashrei is the person who, number one, isn't on the track, isn't locked in, invested into the track of Rishon. That would be horrible, to be a holich, the opposite of halacha. His halacha is that of Rishos, instead of the halacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Achrei Hashem lokechem teleichu, v'alachta bedrachav. That's a life path. Baruch Hashem, my life path is not one of rishus. And number two, I'm not even being omed. Malbim says, al pipshuta, that's less. I'm standing there. Just standing there temporarily. with chataim, with people who are less, you know, less severe sinners. And not only those two, I even rose to the madrega of not sitting with the leitzim, with the Moshe leitzim, with people who are not doing averas, as I said before, the approach of the Malbim. They're just people who are empty. It's a sitter and doing nothing. I'm not living a lifestyle of evil. I'm not getting involved temporarily in chet. And I'm not even sitting and doing nothing. Rather, and the Malbim says that's why Al Pi Pshuto takes the Malbim, it's the second approach to the Malbim, so then it leads into the second pasuk. I'm not in a deeply evil lifestyle. I'm not doing averus here and there. I'm not even sitting around doing nothing. Instead, I'm being productive, positively. Ki im, rather. And it's a natural flow. Instead of the Moshe of Leitzim, I'm sitting with Torah. I'm sitting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki im is haras Hashem chetzom. Uvesora so, yege yomon v'layla. Rather than not only chet, but rather than sitting around being empty, I fill myself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. And it's Rambam, it perhaps is reminiscent of a pair of Rambams. In Hilchos Talmud Torah, I think it's a paragimel. The Rambam speaks about this concept based on presumably the Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos, but Kesar Torah. Mishnayos and Avos speak of the various Kesarim. The Rambam speaks that Kesar Torah is a person who is really deeply invested in learning. A person who is deeply invested in Torah and whose life is chock full of Torah. And it paints a very glorious picture of where that can lead to spiritually. And then at the end of Hilchos Yisurei Bia, the very end of Perichav Beis, the Rambam just talks about filling oneself with Torah as an alternative to Chet, sort of flipping, inverting the causal flow over here. Right here, David Melech is saying, instead of being empty, I fill myself with Torah. The Rambam says it also goes the other way around. Rambam speaks about David Melech's direction in Hilchos Talmud Torah. Rather than being empty, I fill myself with Torah and I crown myself thereby with the Keser Shel Torah. In the end of Hilchos Yisurei Bia, he says it also goes the other way around. If I fill myself with Torah, I fill myself with things of meaning, then I'm going to leave less room for Narishkeit and worse. And he says that's the way one's trying to lead a life of greater Kedusha and Tahara and greater Tznius. So it says shift your thoughts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. And that will consume my mind in a positive way and leave less room for emptiness. So that's the flow. So again, so Tehillim opens, and it's intriguing, and it's striking, that Tehillim opens by talking about peer pressure. The impact of peer, that's the opening topic in Tehillim. And as we see, there are different flavors of peer pressure. On the one hand, you see sort of the dynamic that there could be a slippery slope. And the other hand, we're also sensitized in the Malbim's perspective that it comes in different flavors. They're really the severe, and there's even the less severe. And there's even something that doesn't really seem objectively so bad, but it's empty, as opposed to being filled with Torah. Now, let's turn our attention to the second pasuk itself. And two or three comments from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Turning the page from Yechesam Beis to Yechesam and Aleph, I believe. Ki im b'saras Hashem cheftzo. The Gemara reads this pasuk very carefully. Ki im b'saras Hashem cheftzo. This Jew's chefes, this Jew's desire, his want, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Uvesora so, yege yomam v'layla. And in his Torah, this Jew thinks and speaks by day and by night. So two comments the Gemara makes. Number one, the Gemara quotes a series of Amoraim, various Amoraim, who notice the word cheftzo. Ki misaras Hashem cheftzo. Why the word cheftzo? So many Amoraim saw in this word a lesson about how to succeed in learning. And that is, ein adam lo mein elo makom shelibo chafetz. A Jew is going to succeed and be productive in learning if you're learning the place that you want, which may both be a reference to finding the right shir, finding the right rebbe, finding the right context, and also finding the right part of Torah. That's the way it's most often quoted. Malkam Shlibo Chafetz, different things appeal to different people. Different parts of Torah, halacha, hashkafa, tanach, etc., 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 and different styles. Something more cerebral, something more inspirational, some blend, this, that, pshat, kabbalah, different things appeal to different sorts of people. And the Gemara says, if you want to be successful, if you want to accomplish in learning, you got to find that which resonates. You can't just endlessly try to fit a square peg into a round hole. I have to find what's going to work for me. What works for me is not necessarily going to work for you. What resonates with one person is not going to resonate with another person. And that's fine. That's what David HaMelech is capturing, the Gemara says, with the word cheftza. A Jew is gonna plug into his chefetz in Torah. And then, and this also speaks to the need to plan. I have to be in tune with my preferences to figure out what resonates, and I need to plan around that and figure out how to feed my desires in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. And then a beautiful comment the Gemara makes. Kim b'saras Hashem cheftzo u'b'saraso yege yomam v'loyla. What changes from the first half of the pasuk to the second half of the pasuk? Yeah. The Gemara Rava, the Amora Rava comments, after commenting on Cheftzo, he's one of the series of Amoram who comment on Cheftzo and B'makam Shalibo Chafetz, he says there's a trend, it looks like there's a, how do you understand this? It's a contradiction. So Raso, who's his Torah? Who's his Torah? So we would have translated probably his Torah with a capital H, a reference to God. We said Torah Hashem. We don't have to repeat again Torah Hashem, so we change it up a little bit. Torah Hashem, Torah So. But Rava understands it may be an additional level of interpretation is it means with lowercase h. It's a reference not to Hashem, but to the Ish. Kiim b'saras Hashem cheftzo v'saraso yega yom v'layla. And the Gemara says, Rava says, that there's a transition from it being externally a HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah over there to being my Torah. And what makes the difference? Yega. The Gemara says, when you begin, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. I want to learn it. But once I invest myself in it, then it's Torah delay. It becomes my learning. It becomes my learning. And aligned with that, the Gemara notes that Yehege only shows up later in the second stage. So the Gemara says, that's how you know, you first Yilmad v'achakach Ya'ayin. First you have to sort of learn the basics, and then you can dig deep. And that also speaks to the notion of Kenyan Torah, the notion that I can make Torah my own, which is sort of a radical type of idea. I want to turn your attention very briefly, perhaps coming attractions, Perek Yutes, which is very familiar to us from the opening of Psukei Dezimra of Shabbos. Hashamayim Misaprim Kavod Kel Masiyah De Magid Erekim. Even if you don't get that deep into Psukei Dezimra of Shabbos, that far you get. And halfway through, we have the famous psukim, Torah Hashem Timushivas Nafesh Eis Hashem Yamanam Achikim Aspesi. A lot to say about that, but for now, just one question, and that question is that it seems as though that's a total break. The first half of the parak is about seeing Hakadosh Baruch Hu nature, and then all of a sudden, we start talking about Hakadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. What have the two halves to do with one another? So it's a widely discussed kasha. The Radak, the Ibn Ezra, and the Malbim, all maybe with slightly different formulations, give the same answer, which is that these are two different ways to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can come to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashemayim Misaprim Kvod Kel, through studying his world, through appreciating nature, and I can come to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah Hashem Timi Mishivas Nafash, through learning his Torah. It's something that's presented as a stira. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvah says the way to Avas Hashem is through learning Torah. And in the Mishnah Torah, Rambam writes the way to Avas Hashem is through studying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. Sometimes presented as a stira, although as these Rishonim point out, it's not a stira. They're both correct. These are both studying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah and studying His world are both ways to come to notice Him and to come to develop an emotional relationship. And so now to take a step back and just sort of pull together what's emerged from exploring Perek Aleph and beginning to explore Perek Yates is, number one, to appreciate the power of the impact of the social pressure, for better or for worse. Number two, to appreciate the stark difference between someone who is empty within and someone who chooses to fill him or herself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. And number three is the notion, the need to find my chefetz in learning. What is it that I'm excited about? With whom? In what context? In what flavor? What part of Torah? And to plan around that. Number four is the radical idea that I can be Kona Torah. We talk about Kenyan Torah. I can make Torah mine. It's a radical idea. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. But he gives us the opportunity not just to sort of look at it like in a museum, but if we dig in and seek deeply to understand things, we make them ours, which is a remarkable idea. And to think, as we began to see in Perek Yates, but the impact, not only how you get to Torah, but the impact going forward that Torah has on me and my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then finally, with that, we return to where we began, which is Ashrei. Radak talks about that this opening parak is the key. Growth as a human being, to growth as a Jew. And Ashrei, the Mefarshim points out, not Matzliach. We're not talking about physical success, but spiritual success, spiritual richness will flow from this. There are keys to spiritual richness. David HaMelech is handing us the keys. Thinking about where we put ourselves socially, thinking about how we fill our lives with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, those are the keys. Increasingly enriched lives as the months, the years, and decades go by. Thank you so much. A marvelous night. We will have a Shem Ritzim next week, and not the week after, and we'll have to talk beyond that.